This is Modern Mavericks, a podcast and newsletter for those of us who want more than just a job. I'm your host and career coach, Janelle Ibrahami. Whether you're a corporate go-getter, an entrepreneurial spirit, or a powerful blend of both, you're in the right place. I'm sharing actionable advice on how to take your career power back and build something you're proud of. Together, we'll help you create a career that's meaningful and meant for you, because you're a maverick. Let's get started.
Oh man, I have been looking forward to sharing this conversation for a while now because I sat down with someone whose approach to life and career I just really admire. Her name is Ashna Menkotia, and she has an impressive 9-to-5 as a product manager at Morning Brew, but she's also building something of her own, a global community for professional women called Saffron, and an audience as a creator of over 100,000 followers over on TikTok. Did I mention she's also planning a wedding? So how the hell is she doing all of this? We dig into everything about how Ashna is able to bring all of this to life, including why and how she decided to monetize a community, the misconception of corporate millennials, corporate go-getters becoming content creators, because I have a feeling you've been thinking about it, how she balances her full-time role, building a business and growing as a creator, and what most people get wrong about building a personal brand online. I have a feeling you're going to be coming back to this episode again and again because Ashna's approach to being a multi-hyphenate, a multi-passionate person is just that good. It's just like on the mark. So without further ado, let's get into our conversation, our lunch break with Ashna Menkotia.
Hi, Ashna. Thank you so much for spending your lunch break with us.
Thanks for having me.
We have so much to talk about, so many things I'm really curious to pick your brain on. But before we do that, could you possibly give us your professional power statement? So who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Ashna. I do quite a few things. I am a product manager for an ed tech startup within a media company. I have my own business. I run a business called Saffron, which is a membership community for women. We have about 160 women from 10 countries. And I also am a content creator, primarily on TikTok, where I try to tell stories about just a woman living her life.
Incredible. Can you give us a little bit more of a breakdown on how all of these things work together, let's say on a day-by-day basis or on a weekly basis?
Sure. So, you know, I think when I started, so I work at Morning Brew as a product manager, and I've been there for quite a few years now. I was the first hire at Morning Brew for their education division. So being that first person to build something and to be the person that's expected to build something taught me so much about entrepreneurship and really what it means to just put something out there. And I have been entrepreneurial in my life. I've had side hustles. I've had little Shopify stores and just things that I've tried and done. But really kind of going 0 to 7 figures now in this business just taught me so much. So, and even just, you know, building a product, understanding the users that you're building for and building something of value, it's just been such an incredible experience, and I've learned so much and continue to learn a lot at Morning Brew as a PM. And then Saffron, which is my membership community, really, I learned so much from building the education division at Morning Brew with the team. Saffron really is an extension of that. So, and I'm also a content creator. Right. So I like to think of, I pull from my audience as a content creator. I take what I've learned as a product manager, and I built my first kind of official, it's not my first thing I've ever built, but it feels like the most concrete thing I've ever built, Saffron. So everything is like connected together. And I think every life experience teaches you about the next thing you want to do. So those are kind of the ways that things are all connected.
Yeah. So Saffron is growing quite quickly, quite rapidly. And to back up a little bit, you even mentioned you have professional experience, right, in edutech. I saw on your LinkedIn and research, and even in these like small Shopify businesses or retail. And a lot of times when corporate go-getters are
trying to embrace their entrepreneurial spirit, they think, oh, let me start a business that has to do with or is in parallel with what I do in my day job. Why did you choose to start a women's community as your entrepreneurial venture?
Sure. So, you know, I would almost say that content creation, like monetizing my TikTok audience, and then, like, you know, Oh My Goshna, which is my handle, is like a registered business now. And really, that was the first thing that I did outside of product management that really registered it as a business and really like built something up. And I think the idea of pursuing a business that was really similar to product management or ed tech just seemed like exhausting to me. Like, I work 9 to 5, and do you want me to be another product manager, like more out, you know what right. I mean? I wanted something fun to do in my free time. And that's how content creation started. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, I know that I enjoy it because I have pretty much, I grew like crazy last year. And this year I've kind of not really grown at all. I've just kind of maintained. And as much as I, you know, wish my numbers would grow, I think there's also just a sense of, I don't know, that's how it is. Sometimes you can't really control your content. You can only do so much. And I'm very happy making content. And it's like, it's a joy of mine. So being able to monetize this thing that makes me happy was kind of the start. And Saffron really leaned from that. And I grew from the idea of listening to my audience and talking to them and understanding that this community would be something that they'd be interested in. And I think I definitely battled with this idea of pursuing content creation from an identity, ego, perhaps point of view, validation point of view. Mm-hmm. I think there is respect in being a senior product manager in this tech world, this corporate world. Like, people hear that title, there is like respect in it. Mm-hmm. And when people hear content creator or even influencer, there is, I don't know, there's a lot of misconceptions or perhaps, you know, preconstructed notions of what that means. And I definitely think I had them for myself. Like, I battled feeling comfortable calling myself a content creator, but I just realized that's my own like misogyny in some ways, like, you know.
That internalized misogyny, it creeps up when we least expect it. And you're like, oh shit, that still exists. Wow, that still exists. For sure. So, okay, this conversation is definitely getting into the content creation world where I have so many questions for you.
I'm sorry, I'm like all over the place.
No, this is exactly what I want to talk about. You started creating content pretty much in earnest around 2020, right? So it's been almost 4 years. How did you decide to start posting online? Do you remember that moment when you decided, I'm going to give this a shot?
I do remember. I always wanted to be like a YouTuber back in like high school. And I was just so scared. I mean, I think if I actually started in high school, imagine where I could have been now.
I think about that all the time. I'm like, imagine if I just kept the blog. I had like a Blogspot blog where I was documenting my like scene American Apparel outfits. I was like, imagine maintained that identity and let it evolve with me. But that's a whole other conversation.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. I think about that all the time. And I really, really wanted to be, and I was like making videos with my like high school friends and like just posting them to Facebook and editing. Like, I love telling these stories and just making fun videos. So then it was 2020. I think I created a TikTok account like January 2020, and it was October 2020. Pandemic is like very much in our lives. And I spent the month thinking, let me just post every day this month and see what happens. And then I just continued to post a little more regularly. And then December 2020, I had my first viral video. And that got like 3 million views. And that was crazy. That was just crazy to see the reach. And I think that, like, in my mind was just like, okay, like, there is real potential on TikTok for a lot of people to see your content. And I just tried things and I kept going and I enjoyed it. And eventually I learned, and I'm still learning, the types of stories that I feel good about putting out. And I feel overall like quite proud of especially this past year, my storytelling that's developed and the videos that I put out there. So that's really what I've been focusing on. I think this year, especially with content creation, I started the year with a very business focused goals for my my content creation brand for Oh My Goshna. And I kind of shifted them halfway, like just a couple months into the 2023. I just said, you know, I actually really just want to focus on telling good stories that I feel good about. And that's what I have been really trying to do. And I think the thing that is difficult about being someone who pursues anything creative, whether it be a podcast or whether it be writing or whether it be art of any kind, content creation, I think there is this fear that someone is going to see something, one of our pieces of content, one of our pieces of art, and judge everything about us based on that one piece. Inevitably, that is going to happen. And I think that is the fear. But I've kind of put that aside, and I've just realized that not every piece of work is going to be a masterpiece because it's just impossible. So as I get better and I put more out there, every piece of work feels better and better. But I know there's content and videos that I've put out there. It's not my favorite. I don't think it's possible for everything to be your favorite. Right. But once in a while you work on something and it is your favorite. And that's what I'm always chasing. It's like a run out. When you run, sometimes runs feel like garbage, but there's that one run that feels like you have that high. So I think that's kind of like art.
Yeah. I mean, it's unrealistic to think, like you said, that every piece of content is going to hit either for you or your audience. But when you develop more of like a portfolio mindset of every piece that I put out there is just a part of my portfolio, it all works together. And if someone were to arrive at my page or arrive at my little corner of the internet, they'll get a very full holistic picture of who I am, what I'm about, and what I'm really here to talk about and help people with.
Yeah.
Completely resonate with that moment that you realize the difference between creating content on TikTok and on Instagram and the reach potential. I remember when I really realized like, oh, more people can really see what I put on TikTok versus what I've been putting on Instagram. This is a completely different game, completely different reach. But you really do share pretty vulnerable stories on your TikTok when you talk about your body image, you talk about your family dynamics and your relationship. What other kind of mental blocks did you have to overcome to start showing up so authentically?
I think my problem is I have no mental blocks. I am just a oversharer. So sometimes I do wish I had those mental blocks. I've never felt like my content would revolved around a specific niche, right? I'm not a makeup, beauty, lifestyle, like, fashion, fitness creator. Like, you go to those creators for something to learn something. And if you're a lifestyle creator, I think, honestly, it's a little bit self-indulgent to be a lifestyle creator, because your life is the story. But that being the case, I try to be real about this is my life and you're here to watch me. And, you know, as much as I think there's a difficult balance of being real and not, and being authentic, but also finding how to protect yourself and not just in your own relationships. You know, my partner is quite private. So there's a balance of just what do I share? And what do I want to share? Like, our relationship will always be above any video idea. I also feel lucky that I've connected with my audience. And I think they just like to see another woman that they resonate with, like living a life and everything that comes with life. So I just like to share how my life is going, the highs, the lows, what I've learned, what's hard, what's easy, and just kind of treat TikTok as like my diary.
And that's a really healthy and sustainable way to treat it. Instead of, like you said, if you were to niche down so pointedly, so specifically, you're going to burn yourself out. It's kind of the same as choosing an entrepreneurial venture that's so closely related to what you do in your 9-to-5. You're eventually going to get sick about what you talk about. But if you are just sharing your life and what's true for you and help people or invite people to come along on the journey, that sounds and feels a lot more sustainable. But it actually reminds me of something I remember you saying in one of your videos that I still think about. Actually, it really, really resonated with me. You said, the more I share my life, the more opportunities come around that are worth sharing. And I thought that was so that really perfectly captured the why or the compelling reason to show up this way online. And I'd be really curious to hear, what are some of the most memorable opportunities or memorable things that have happened for you as a result of creating content?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And it's true. It really is true for me. I think there, when you start creating content, especially living in Toronto, there's like this side of content creation that's like fun events and brand events and going to fun things. And I don't have like an agent. I don't really contact PR companies to try to get on any lists. So sometimes I think I have this FOMO of that side of it, but I think I have, but when I start to feel that FOMO, I remember the real, I think, reason and the joys of being on content creation, or being a content creator. It's really just connecting with people. And I always try to be careful about speaking about this, because I said this so many times, but I didn't create content, or I didn't start making content because, you know, I wanted to be an inspiration. Like I started creating content because I love my life and I just wanted a place to share my life. And I don't know, I think sometimes content creators come off as very like holier than thou. I'm here to inspire other women. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. That just couldn't be me. Yeah. And I think it has been so cool to connect with all the women who say that I do inspire them. Mm. And it's absurd how many times I've been stopped on the streets. And,
really?
You know, it happens about a couple times a month.
And wow.
Just, hey, love your content. Like, thank you so much. It's just real people, I feel like, watch me and are connected to me. Mm. And, you know, I don't think I have this, like, I don't have millions of followers. I have a small group of followers, but it's all relative. But I think the people who follow me, a lot of them feel really connected to me. And and to me, that is just like an honor. Like, I don't think that I am any more special than any other woman who watches me. I just happen to be speaking and people happen to be listening. And I think that is so cool. I think it's, you know, to your question was what are the best things out of content creation? It's really just the fact that I feel like I have an ear of thousands of people who are listening to me, and, you know, maybe they don't want to buy anything from me. It's not all business. And it's just like people kind of care, I think, a little bit about me.
Absolutely. That's crazy. I would say more than a little bit, but I completely relate to what you're saying. And you're right. What we create doesn't need to always have a profit behind it. When you start filtering the content that you create against a lens of, is this going to be profitable? Is this going to lead to a click, to a sale? That's when it becomes draining, and that's when it comes off inauthentic, and that's when your community starts to feel a little bit unattached or not really like that close to you anymore. But that doesn't mean that you're not still making an impact. The impact is the impression and the feeling that people get when they are watching, what did she do today? Oh, how did she approach this situation? She's getting ready for her wedding. What is that like? You know, like that actual personal impact, if you allow yourself to remember that that's happening and not get so consumed with other measures of success, can be so, so powerful.
I mean, you just saying you remember this one thing that I said in a video I posted maybe months or a year ago or something, like that is the best part about being a content creator. It's also the scary part, because you have to realize your words, people will remember them. So I try to take that quite seriously.
Yeah. I also want to revisit something you said earlier in our conversation around, like, there is a inherent like level of respect that you get when you say, oh, I'm a senior product manager for this tech company versus, oh, I'm a content creator. And I think there's a really cool opportunity to talk about the differences in building a personal brand professionally in your like kind of corporate track career and building a personal brand with content online. How do you see the difference between the two?
I mean, if truthfully, I do not try to build a personal brand as a senior product manager.
Interesting. Okay, tell me more.
I think if I was to pursue if I, let's say I was not a content creator and I wanted to pursue my brand as a product thought leader, mm-hmm. I would be posting on LinkedIn about the products that I'm building, the launches that I've done, the challenges that I faced. I would be posting on Twitter about, or X or whatever, about the exact same things. I would have maybe a TikTok that was just on my career and the things that I've done. I would focus my brand and the content that I put out as just, I'm a product manager. And I think I could do that well. And mm-hmm. I think it would be really beneficial if I wanted to pursue growth as a product leader.
Right.
But I don't want to do that.
Honestly, that is very refreshing to hear from, you know, I would consider you like a fellow ambitious woman who wants to make a name for herself, just like me and a lot of people who listen to this podcast. But it's also very refreshing to hear someone say, you know what, I honestly don't care that much about building my professional brand connected to my job title. I appreciate you saying that.
I mean, if I think about it though, I think about my future. I think about where I want to be a couple of years from now. And I think when I first started my career in product, I wanted to be a VP product. I wanted to be leading a giant product team at a tech company or something impressive like that. And I've talked to some of my Saffron members, friends, about the same idea. I wanted my career to be a big deal to a large amount of people, like kind of a big deal in a way that they don't really care, but they are like kind of impressed by. But now I just want to matter a lot to a small group of people. And that's how I see my career now. So I know that I'm a good product manager and I know that I can have a resume and I have references and people in my current job who would vouch and say just that. So I feel fine about my personal brand as a product manager. You know what I mean? But I work on just building my brand as a person who is trying to build right now, like an authentic community or a real membership space, because I see my life more as like building something of my own.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're free to say that here. Everyone who listens to this podcast feels the same way. We're multi-hyphenates, we're multi-passionate. And I think to your point, like we've kind of outgrown, I'm speaking for the folks who I know listen and who have commented on why they resonate with this content, is we've outgrown that kind of gold star student mentality of, oh, I need to look super impressive on my LinkedIn and I care so much about the perception of what my career looks like instead of how it feels and the impact that I feel on the daily that I am making to the people who actually matter to me. And maybe they're not people I expected to matter so much, but in a beautiful twist of life and fate, they are those people. So completely relate to that. I do want to dig into Saffron a little bit more. I think it's a fantastic initiative. You were, if we talk about your content creation with Oh My Goshna, which is its own registered business, incredible, and Saffron, which is its own business. If we think about those two, you're kind of operating or navigating two different business models, right? So content creation is very like B2C, if you're in the business and you're connecting with your content creation and Oh My Goshna, and sometimes you partner with brands, you're monetizing it that way with partnerships, that's very B2B. So you're working with individuals from other companies, but Saffron is a little bit more of a B2C model where you are selling memberships to individual women. So how are you navigating both of those different models and are there pros and cons to each?
Yeah. So it's funny. So something when I think about like, Oh My Goshna versus Saffron, sometimes people, content creators will use the word community. And I don't really think that's a fair use of the word because as a content creator on Oh My Goshna, I don't really have a community. I have an audience because audiences are parallel and communities are circular.
Ooh, interesting. Can you say more about that?
As a person with an audience, I have the ears of many people, but they can't connect with each other. A community is where people can talk to me, but they can talk to each other, and we can all talk to each other and can all connect with each other. And I knew that there was this desire for, I was getting a lot of signals that there was desire to meet me and meet others and just connect with women. And that's what really inspired Saffron. Mm-hmm. And Saffron is a community, and Oh My Goshna is an audience. And I try to do my best to my audience. I think some benefits our community feel like you can contribute and you can also take others' contributions. So as a content creator, if someone is commenting or offering me something, I try to interact and engage it almost every single time to try to build that engagement. But there is just no way on social media I could engage with someone the same way I could in an area that is a community. So from a business point of view, it's so different, because from a business perspective, it's very different, because it's for Oh My Goshna, it is brands reaching out to me or PR companies reaching out to me. And that is just a very typical, transaction of just a bunch of emails. And then we figure out the deal and how many posts. And I think it's surprising for people who aren't in the space of how much work goes into negotiating a 30-second ad for a product. So that is like such a whole different space. And then for Saffron, something that I've just started to do is I've started to actually schedule 15-minute calls with everyone who's interested in joining. And it's much slower. I am literally putting a barrier to payment, because I'm forcing people to meet me and not just pay. And, all my product lens and brain is telling me, what are you doing? You're making this business so slow. But from a community perspective, the value of a community is the people in it. And every person I am talking to, I just want them to understand you're joining this community, but you're also the value of what this community is. I can do so much to make it as easy as possible for you to make connections, for you to make friends, but I can't snap my fingers and make you best friends with, or even just feel connected to another woman. Like, you have to do that work. And that's something, I had a beta where I closed off accepting anyone for 3 months. And I really learned that. I really learned that there is only so much I can do to offer someone a community.
Mm. I'm curious to hear how that feels to know or to accept there's only so much I can do in the pursuit of this goal. So your goal is to grow this community and connect these individuals. And you're also recognizing, but there's only so much I can do there. I can't snap my fingers or like write a line of code that magically connects these two things, right? Is that hard to accept?
I have this theory that I think community takes momentum. Mm-hmm. And that momentum is the hardest part, to kind of ritualize the interaction with each other. That is the hardest part. And because Saffron is a global membership community, there are so many cities and I can't be in every city. And Toronto, where I'm based, has been easier to build that momentum, because I feel like I'm here and maybe at the first event, everyone met me. But now Toronto members are just planning dinners on their own and they're kind of doing events on their own, which is awesome. The other cities that are smaller, and I'm focused very hard on growing any city outside of Toronto right now. They're not, not like, there's a handful of members in a lot of cities. And I'm just that person who is doing as much as I can to force as much as you can.
Yeah.
As easy as possible to build those relations. So I think there is a lot that I can do, but I think now what I'm doing is I'm just saying it is impossible for me to give you what you want if you're not willing to do the work. I almost think of it as a personal trainer. Like, I'm going to be the best personal trainer. I will call you at 6 a.m. and ask you why you're not at the gym. I will, do the workouts with you. But if you don't do them, if you don't wake up, there's only so much I can do.
Yeah, I resonate with that. When I was building my entrepreneurial business as a career coach and like leading one-on-one career coaching sessions and group coaching sessions, I struggled a lot with the acceptance of I can be the best coach. I can guide this person. I can ask them the right questions. But if they're not going to meet me halfway, if they're not also going to walk towards me or towards their potential or their goal, then I have to be okay with them not reaching it, because then at some point that's on them. Whereas in the beginning of that career,
It's so hard.
You feel like it's a personal failure sometimes if you grew up like a people pleaser, but you're just like, why don't, like, you feel like it's a reflection on you, but that understanding of no, this person also has to meet me halfway. I can't be fully responsible for their transformation, for their experience. It takes some acknowledgement. Like, you have to actually understand and accept that, which is quite hard. But tell us a little bit more about Saffron. Who is this community for?
Sure. So Saffron is a global membership community for women. And my vision, my dream is that in every major city, there is a group of women that you can hang out with, or you can just ask for something as small as a recommendation. Or something that's awesome is now members are traveling from one city to the other, from one country to the other, and they have a friend in another city. Yeah. And that is so cool. And Saffron is a membership community for women that is not based on any interest specifically. It's not based on a career type specifically. The only requirement is you identify as a woman and you, I guess two requirements, and you have at least 3 years of full-time work experience, just so there's some baseline of mutual understanding and kind of stage of life is kind of kicked off. Yeah. That's about it. And what I think so many people ask me the question, how do you make friends as an adult?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
How do you? And I think Saffron is really the way you make friends as an adult. And I think it's so cool that you could be potentially connected with a friend in any city in the world.
Right. I'm 31 and I want to think about that for a moment. What if social media or Slack groups or these kind of communities had been popular 10 years ago, 9 years ago when I was graduating college? That would have been a godsend. You know what I mean? Like, young women, and yes, we can benefit from this too. We're still young, but like younger women who are just graduating college and finding their footing, they are in such a rich landscape of community, connection, potential to like tap into these small pockets of the world and find people that, at least from my experience, I feel like I didn't have and had to get a little bit more creative with like, how am I going to find my people?
Yeah. I mean, the median age of Saffron members is 29.
Oh, wow.
So it's like women who have like established in a lot of ways their life, their career, and I think are just looking to feel connected to something and just looking to talk to other women and feel like a fresh start. It is my favorite thing to see, just members hanging out and like friendships being formed and just those like conversations happening. It's so magical.
That's amazing. Do you have an iced coffee nearby? Are you an iced coffee girl?
I am an iced coffee girl.
Okay. I was going to say, take a moment to like manifest your vision that you made for Saffron. This is water.
Why? So we're manifesting.
We're doing like the iced coffee swirl above the head.
Shout
out Jessica, but this is how you manifest. Okay. And I want that vision to come true for you. In every city, there is a bubbling, bursting, vibrant Saffron community where women just know I'll be okay no matter where I go because Saffron's got my back. I know that I can meet my people there. I love that.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. And it's cool because I'm starting to be really vocal about this dream and this vision. And I just talked to a woman from Dallas.
Okay.
And I said, you know, Sarah, I would love to have you as a Saffron member, but you're going to be the only person in Dallas. And the experience of the online community is going to be awesome. Don't get me wrong. There's virtual events every month. There's a thriving Slack group. But if you want friends in your Dallas, I can't give you that yet. And she said, that's okay. I'm happy to be the first person. She said, I travel to New York for work a lot. And I know there's a lot of members in New York. And that's cool for me. So that is the coolest part. When women are willing to be the first.
Yeah. So I take a brave woman. Shout out Sarah. She's doing good work. What a blessing. But yeah, that's the sign of, I feel like someone who is like, you're just willing to build. You're willing to try. You're willing to be like the first one in a domino effect is something that could be really great, but you've got to believe in that potential. And to your point, like finding that group of people that you matter to and who matter to you, this is the kind of impact you can really have if you grow that consistently, if you're really intentional about it and you do it in a way that just truly aligns with who you are and not for any other kind of reason. So Saffron is super inspiring. I would love to get a little bit more granular here though, because you are balancing a couple of different jobs within your larger career portfolio. How are you staying organized with all this going on? What systems, tools, resources, apps, what are you using to stay organized?
I mean, for Saffron, I use actually like a ton of software.
Okay.
A ton of things.
To keep a lot going on behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I use a ton of tools, and something that I try to do is try to help myself and try to work smarter and try to automate what I can automate. So I have a Zapier, for like a membership. I pay for Zapier $40 a month. I also have an Airtable. I use Airtable a lot. I think I'm going to start paying for that soon because I'm almost at the limit. And I use a tool called PandaDoc, which is just for like waivers, and release forms.
DocuSign alternative.
Yeah, a DocuSign alternative. DocuSign was expensive, so PandaDoc seemed a little bit cheaper. I use Canva. I have a Google Workspace subscription. I use Squarespace for my website. All in all, right now, it's about almost $300 a month I'm spending on tools, which isn't too bad, to be honest.
Not too bad. And thanks for sharing that figure. And for anyone listening, Zapier, whatever, is a automation tool that connects all of your different apps, all of your different platforms to say, hey, if someone fills out this type form, automatically send me a text and send them this follow-up email. Yeah. And something way more advanced than that, like basic example, but it's a godsend when you're trying to connect all of those different tools that you need.
Yeah. So I can even say how Saffron works is the meeting of a member. Like I'll use Calendly. Oh, I also use Calendly to set up meetings. So I'll invite someone who's interested in joining Saffron to set up a time with me so I can meet them. And that is nothing's automated there. It's me meeting someone. And then once I meet them and I send them manually a payment link to pay for Saffron using Stripe. And then after that, all their invitations to the platforms and stuff is handled automatically once they actually pay for their membership. So yeah, so far it's working well for me in the how fast I want to grow and how I can maintain this right now.
Right. And I think it's important to call out, because I've also felt this, that start with what is available to you right now and what is working at this level with one eye on, you know, how might I have to change things up when we scale, and to not completely shoot yourself in the foot because everything's duct taped together. But it is okay to be starting out with just a couple of different apps here and there that are working together for now. You don't have to procrastinate or put off starting what you want to start because you can't figure out the right tech setup or the right stack of apps. You'll figure it out. Start with what's available to you, and then you'll figure out what makes sense for the next level. But don't let that stand.
I would say you can do almost like everything in Google Drive, you know?
Totally. Google Meet, Calendar, everything. And so where is the actual community meeting digitally? Where's the meeting space? Slack?
We use Slack. Yeah. We have a Slack community. I also use a platform called Circle, which I wanted to be the everything place. I actually just find the Circle app not great. So it's just kind of the reference place where I host all the events are there. And we do a thing called Saffron Monthly, which is like a monthly recap. And I shout out members, almost like a little newsletter. So that lives there. So it's kind of like a reference place for things, but most of the action happens on Slack.
Most of the action is on Slack. Yeah, for sure. So I would also love to know how your days and weeks look as you're kind of juggling these different jobs within your multi-hyphenate, multi-passionate life. No one day probably looks the same, but what would you say a holistic week could look like?
Sure. So I have four major things going on in my life right now. I work 9 to 5. I am a content creator. I also am planning my wedding.
No big deal.
And I run Saffron. So luckily, I mean, my fiance is the best and he's really taken project lead on wedding stuff, which is awesome. I think he really kind of is leading that. but I would say once a week, we'll spend time talking about wedding stuff. There has been times where he's touring venues just on his own because I have a Saffron event, which is just so sweet. He's like never made me feel bad about it. So wedding stuff, I feel like I don't feel too stressed about because, again, my partner is kind of taking the lead on that and I'm helping and, you know, being present as much as I can. But he's really project manager of our wedding. For Saffron, it's a lot of evenings and sometimes weekends. I usually have at least 30 minutes of calls every day. So that's, 30 minutes, maybe 3-4 times a week of just calls. And then I'll work on events, usually early in the morning. I get up quite early. So I'll be working from like 8 to 9:30-ish on Saffron stuff almost every day. And then what else do I do? My nine to five. Luckily, I mean, knock on wood, right now, my 9 to 5 is just a 9 to 5. It's not a 9 to 6. It's not a 9 to 10. Things are just fit in the window of a 9 to 5, which is awesome right now. It allows me to do a lot of other things before and after. And then when it comes to content creation, luckily, you know, my content, I think it is helpful that it's lifestyle. It's just my life. It's a lot of vlogs. So I just share my days. It definitely is like this mental load when you're vlogging a day because you're just thinking about this thing all day. I'm vlogging this day, that's kind of my week. I don't know, it maybe wasn't exactly a calendar view, but it's a lot of mornings on Saffron, 9 to 5s, a lot of evenings and weekends on Saffron too, and then just vlogging as much as I can throughout it, and then allowing my fiance to take the lead on wedding planning.
A partner who steps up. Bless. No, that's super helpful. Even just understanding that it really is the moments in between the 9 to 5 or these longer blocks of time that you know you're still prioritizing this one part of your professional identity. Yes, it's going to take up the majority of things. But when you find those micro moments, when you do figure out, oh, maybe I can shift a Wednesday to look like this, or I'm okay with Saturdays being a half work day because it's in service or in purpose of this larger goal, this larger vision. And perhaps it is something that actually gives you energy instead of takes away from it. But
Saffron is fun. Saffron is like, there's definitely a lot of admin work involved in it and a lot of just trying to figure things out. And, but it's also a lot of fun things. Like Saffron events are just like hanging out with women. Like it's a good time. So, you know, not that bad.
That's amazing. So I have a couple questions that I like to ask every lunch break guest, and let's go ahead and get into those. I would love to know what is in your smarter pack. So what helps you work smarter and not harder?
I would have to say like Zapier is one of my favorite tools specifically for Saffron that has just helped me so much automate a few things. You know, every task that it automates helps so much. I also have like 4 calendars that are all different colors, which helps me organize my life a lot as well.
Incredible. I would also love to know who or what is inspiring your career and business moves right now.
You know, I think when I, being like a child, being an immigrant, being like a child of first like parents who really kind of struggled, I think I recognize that the pursuit of even like passion and joy in work is such a privilege. So I feel so lucky that I just get to even think about having a career that is fun and, you know, brings me hopefully one day lucrative. So I think, you know, what my parents didn't have really inspires me, and I feel really lucky to get to have what I have. So I think I don't pursue what I pursue without that in mind.
Absolutely. Totally. Totally. Plus one. And now I would love to know, to the person who's listening to this episode on their lunch break, who feels deep down that they are meant for more in their career, but may not really know how to begin exploring what that looks like, what advice would you offer to them?
I think it's like, what is your like dream day to day look like? I think sometimes if we can imagine the end vision of our careers, of our lives, what does that look like and feel like? That's a good way to start, because if we don't know what we want, how do we know what direction to go in? I would say start there. I would also say that I think in life, there is no way to escape the feeling of work. I think no matter what we do, no matter what you do as a career, no matter how much money you make, no matter if you work for someone else or for yourself, you'll always feel like this sense of work. And I think we have this concept in our minds that if we just get our dream job, every day will be sunshine and rainbows and fun. I have never been more passionate about Saffron. You know, I've never been more passionate about anything than I have been about Saffron and building this community and this membership community. But there are days and moments where it is just work. Totally. There's nothing sexy or glamorous. There's nothing fun about it. It's just work. So I would say, figure out what your dream life looks like, but also recognize that no matter what your dream life looks like, there will be days and moments and tasks that just are work.
Absolutely. That's a perfect place to end. Ashna, where can we keep up with you?
Well, I'm on TikTok. You can also, if you're interested in Saffron, join the waitlist at joinsaffron.com. And I'm Oh My Gosh, not every social. So beautiful. You can just find me there.
We'll link to everything in the show notes. Don't worry. Ashna, thank you so much for your time. This was a fantastic conversation.
Thank you. It was really fun.